Well, we're still teaching. I'm going to still be ministering in the area of death's not defeat for the saint. We're talking about these areas, dealing in the areas, because dealing with it, it is hugely important for us as Christians on dealing with the areas of fear of death. And we look at death as death is why we have to understand what the scripture teaches us about death. If you don't understand the things about it, there's fear that Satan will always have an avenue to you to make you afraid in this area. And fear will always bring defeat in your life somewhere, something. He'll always use that as a way to keep you from operating in faith where you need to operate in faith. The place that you need to go, you won't be able to go to. And that's why it's dealing with fear. If you have any kinds of fears, whatever fears are, you always want to deal with those things. Because why? Well, it's like Mike's, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And he'll find any avenue that he can find in us to try to use his fear, being afraid. Afraid of death, that's the foundation. We used Hebrews in 2 and verses 14 and 15. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that's the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their life in subject to bondage. Always remember that. Fear is bondage. Fear holds us in bondage. Now, one of the things that we're looking at is overcoming the fear of death. We must deal with the areas of who we really are. And we've been talking about that, is we're spirit beings. That's, you know, you're an eternal being. What mostly people look at is their body, and your body's temporal. Your body's temporal, so when you're looking at your body and that becomes the number one you, then you're going to basically have a fear of death because it's death doomed. Whether you like it or not, I don't care what anybody else preaches, you know. I mean, some years ago, people were going around preaching, well, that you could just live in the body physically forever. You know, if you just had enough faith, you could do that. Well, I find that very interesting because nobody in the Bible had faith to do that. So, nobody made it. We don't have one person that ever made it. But, you know, the devil will get you to believe something dumb. He'll do that. So you waste all your time over on putting your faith on something dumb that ain't going to work. And what you could do with your faith, don't ever get done. And he'll always get you over in an area of extreme. You know, there's things that we can do by faith to live a better life physically from the standpoint of our bodies and health and things. But I'm sorry, you're not going to stop your body from aging. You're not going to do that. You know, it's not going to happen. It's just, you know, thank God we could slow things down, have a good life and things like that. We can have health. We can have those things. That's wonderful. But we're not stopping it from dying. And I don't know if I would want to live here forever with all you guys like this. Now, I'm not saying you're bad or anything like that, but look, in the natural, let's get to heaven, folks, or something. I don't want to, you know, who would want to just keep going through this all the time? Because Paul didn't want to. And he had more faith than any of you guys. And he didn't want to stay here all the time. But we're fighting. Lots of times is today, we're trying to fight a losing battle instead of putting our faith into the place we need to put it to. And, we're going to find out what the Bible says about us and, you know, concerning physical death, but where we're supposed to be hooked up in our spirits in the direction we're supposed to be going. Most of the church world doesn't do it. And this is one of the great difficulties. I'm sure it's when I was younger as a kid, they had a completely different revelation or understanding about death. When I was a kid, I don't like people today about death. Not at all. I mean, fear dominates people much more today. People are dominated, even the church world is dominated more by fear. Today, the church, Christians have a harder time dealing with death. And I don't see any difference with spirit-filled people or non-spirit-filled people. I don't see any difference. In fact, some of the non-spirit-filled people do it better. On death, I would say probably like Mennonites and that stuff do better about death than what a lot of the spirit-filled people do. They do better about it. And because, you know, they have a belief. Most of them, ones that I know and grew up around, they believe the person was going to heaven. And they believe that more than most of the people today. Because I've been around Christians and that stuff today, a spirit-filled, and you'd thought the one who died to believe in Jesus went to hell the way they acted. You know? Our family, we grew up in a family that death was just a thing. There's natural. When people were going to heaven, when we would go to funerals, there was never a wailing and carrying on. Somebody died, was going to heaven. Everybody would get together. I mean, now we're talking about a huge family. We'd have, you know, 400 or 500 people would show up. And it was a family reunion. It was a remembering, you know. That we never felt sad. People didn't feel sad about it. Because they all talk about the person went off to be with the Lord, you know. And it's like, this ain't a problem about them. You know, it's like I heard Kenneth Hagin say one time, he said, you might as well admit it. He said, when we crying and weeping about people who die, he said, it's not about them. He said, if they're a Christian, what's the point of crying? They ain't bad off. He said, whether we want to admit it or not, it's selfish tears. It's, oh, why me? Poor old me. He said, that's what it is. Now, he said, there's nothing matter. We're sorrowful about it. We didn't want to see the person go. But it's about us, and we need to understand. We need to have that solidly in us concerning that person. Because the devil, and I've seen this, I've seen people end up with major psychological problems because they opened the door to the devil with too much sorrow. You get into too much sorrow, the devil will visit you and come and live in your house. You can't go there to that place. You don't go to that place. You don't live there. Because I've seen people do it. I've seen people not deal with things and not deal with it scripturally. And they stay over in the sorrow side and they just stay there. And because why? It is self-centeredness and selfishness. And you can't close the door, keep the devil out if you're going to do that. You can't stop him. He is allowed to come and visit. So you can't get into those areas. And I said, you got to stop and say, but people don't. They'll say, well, this is about that person. No, it's not. It's about you and not dealing. You got to deal with the problem. And what's the problem? A lack of spirituality. That's what it is. It's a lack of spirituality. And if you don't deal with that, what is the Bible? You talk to those people, what the Bible says. They don't. Yeah, I know the person's in heaven, but I got that. And they go right away. Why? Because they have themselves in a spiritual condition where they can stand in anything. And when they're in that condition, it's very hard to try to ever minister to them. It's like I said, it's like the hurricane going on, and you wait till the 90-mile-an-hour wind comes, and you get the plywood out. And lots of times I found as a minister, that's what people want me. The 90-mile-an-hour wind, they want me to get the plywood and fix their windows. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. I can't do it. See, you're supposed to develop when everything's good, not when everything's bad. Most people wait till everything goes bad, then that's when they want to grow up spiritually. That ain't the time to do it. You know, get your first book and, well, now I want to learn to read. Well, it'd been nice if you learned to read before you got the book. Hallelujah. This is good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. Well, we're going to look at some things here today. We talked last week. We looked as us being spiritual beings. We're spirit beings. That's what we are. We are spirit beings. And we looked at last week from the standpoint of death. We looked at Jesus' illustration about the rich man who ended up in hell. In other words, we wanted to see something about this inner man. This inner man, we looked at him from the side. He was one that was lost, but we see that that inner man was just like we would think about, is this our natural man? He could see, he could talk, he had feelings, emotions, he had thought. And we need to know that about ourselves. Our inner man, he has sight, he can see things. And we're going to talk about that because of living a life by faith. Living a life by faith is being able to see by the inner man. Being able to see, if you cannot see by the inner man, if your only sight in life is based on what you can physically see, you're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to have a lot of trouble. Now we're going to look at the thing because we as believers, we're not running away from physical death. We're not supposed to be running away from that. We shouldn't be trying to do what the world does. The world is looking how we can live forever in this body. I'm looking how I can get out of this one. And if I get a body, I want to get that new one the Bible talks about that ain't as dumb as this one. I want the body that matches my spirit. That would be a good combination. Right now, one of my biggest problems, and yours too, is not the devil, it's your flesh. Many times you thought the devil was your problem. No, your flesh is your biggest problem, and you're catering to it. Ain't that good? I know none of you never did that. It was just me. I was the only guy that ever did that. But that's what we deal with. When I found out that really my flesh is a huge problem. Flesh is loud, and the flesh really has strong desire if you don't learn how to deal with it. A very strong desire. I mean, we're living in a world today, and really in not in the church, that the flesh has been let go so much, it completely dominates. It rules. Look what's going on in our nation. The flesh dominates and rules. You turn on the news, it's all about flesh. It's all flesh. Flesh dominating and ruling. Flesh is doing all this stuff that's going on. It's people operating in the flesh. That's what it is. And if you get somebody who's not operating in the flesh, they're like, what on earth is that? That's weird. It's odd. So this is what we're dealing with. And so the world is trying to run and rule by this, by the flesh and what the flesh is doing. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture here because, you know, I was looking around. There's certain scriptures you can look at, and I thought, we need to read these in context of what's being talked about. And if you do, there's good things said, and it is best to go over. I have just really felt lately, I just do a lot of reading over on when I'm looking at things, reading over scripture a lot, just going over and over scripture. There's too much time that we're just, as individuals, we need to sit down and just go through and look at scripture and look at, and allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring things to us and show us. I'm not one to, I don't do daily readings of the Bible. I don't do that. And I'm nothing against it. People want to do daily reading the Bible, they can. I will just have scriptures that I'll meditate on sometimes for weeks or months or stuff that I just read things over and over and over and over again. You know, I'm not trying to see how many things I can read. I'm just trying to learn what I can. And, you know, it isn't about how much I can know what the Bible generally says. I want some revelation. I know a lot of things that the Bible says, but there's a lot I don't have revelation on it, and I don't get revelation. Revelation comes through meditation. It don't come from your daily reading. I mean, how it works. It comes from meditation. Meditating on it day and night. Just taking something and meditating. Taking it, meditating till you see what it's really saying. There's some things that I've read over so many darn times, and I just know when I'm reading it, there's things I get, but I think, you know, there's something with this that I just don't have. I can see it. So you know what? I just play with it till the Holy Ghost. I just read over it and read over it and read over it. And maybe sometimes it takes me longer than you. Maybe you're smarter than I am or you hear the Holy Ghost better. But sometimes it takes me a long time till I finally see it. Hallelujah. So we're just going to go through some scriptures. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul's writing to them. And we're going to start in it at verse 6 of the 4th chapter. It says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." Now I want you to see that because here it says, God's the one who called light to shine out of darkness. He said it's shown into our hearts. Now see, we're talking about our hearts or our spirit. Your inner man is where the light of God is shining. It's on the inner man. It isn't in your body. It isn't your body. He didn't shine the light in your body. Now your spirit is in your body, but the light of God that's shown, the glory that's in the face of Jesus has been shown into your heart. You're born again. You're a child of God. Your spirit has been recreated in the image of God. That light has been shown in your heart. And we need to understand, that's what the real man, the real you on the inside, the glory in the face of Jesus has been shown into your heart by God. God did that. That's God in your heart. So we need to know this. We're going to walk by faith and live by faith. You're going to do it out of your heart. And that's where the light of the glory is. If you're born again, the light of the glory is in you. You know, we want more manifestation of glory. But the manifestation of glory comes out of people with the glory of God. And see, many times we're not walking. You know, we're looking for glory on the outside, but ignoring glory on the inside. You got glory on the inside of you. Now listen to what he says. But we have this treasure, what? In an earthen vessel. And you know what an earthen vessel is? It's a dirt vessel. It's a dirt one. That's what an earthen vessel is. In other words, your body was formed from dirt. Oh, do we love dirt? We treat this dirt like it's something special. It's dirt. Dirt and water. That's what it is. Dirt and water. That's what you are. Dirt and water. You know, you get over it when you find out what you really are. You get over it. You don't get ego anymore. See, people think that they're wonderful. They haven't found out yet they're dirt. They will. They will find out. And usually it's in their destruction when they finally figured it out. They thought they were wonderful till the day of dirt came. And that day will come. So we got it in our dirt vessel. What it is, it looks at that the excellency of the power of God, that power may be of God and not of us. See, this glory that's in us, God stuck it in dirt. Your spirit is living in dirt. See, the glory is in your spirit. That's the glory. Glory can't live in the dirt. It can't live in the earthen vessel as it is. It's inside of it, but I mean, it can't attain it or maintain it itself. Your spirit can. Your spirit, your heart has been designed by God for the glory of God. That's God communes with your spirit. God is spirit. So he communes with you as spirit. That's what he is. He's spirit. Spirit to spirit. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit ministers to your spirit. Now listen, Paul goes on and says, we're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the death of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also be manifested in our bodies. We're carrying about this death in us. And what does this death in us do? What does that do? It's so the manifestation of God's glory can be manifested in our body. See, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. What does it do? It makes alive your mortal body. See, in your spirit, the life that's in your spirit can make this dirt well. It don't get well. See, your body was created and has natural immune system and can heal, but there is healing power in your spirit that you don't have in your natural body, that your natural body can't do. And it's in your spirit. That's where divine healing and divine health, that is inside of you. That's that part of that glory. That's the glory. Healing is in you. It's not something you're trying to get. It's already in the earthen vessel. It's the glory inside, manifest in this vessel. See, this is where I always think that the teaching has been wrong over the years concerning a lot of people teaching healing. I listen to Kenneth Hagin teach. You know, there's something in me that I have. I'm not trying to get. We're trying to get God to send something. Like, you know, we got to get FedEx to go to heaven and pick something up and bring it back to us. And you know, God send it. But, you know, but we need to understand this thinking is why things don't work. You know, God has been very gracious to the church in its stupidity. God has shown mercy and done many things for people that have not been by faith. They have not, because men have not walked in faith because they don't know what the Bible teaches. We have a lot of wrong teaching about healing. People are trying, they're seeking for healing. It's like years ago when people used to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't seek for the baptism. The Holy Spirit's already been given. You receive Him. Healing is in the same manner. It's you receive it. It's here. You're not trying to get it here. It is here. You as a believer, it is in you. Healing's inside. Healing is in me. How can I have the Holy Ghost in me and not have healing? Explain that one to me, you know? I don't get half these books people write. It's like, we gotta get to Bible. I mean, the Bible, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in, He's living inside of you. He's making alive your mortal body. My God, if you can't take a running spell on that one, you have no business shouting about anything ever. Glory to God. God, the Holy Ghost in me, woo-hoo, making my body, well, but glory to God. See, I'm not trying to get healing. What I'm doing, faith takes a hold of it where it's at. It's already on the inside. I already got it. I'm not trying to get it. I already got it. Hallelujah. See, it's changed. There's got to be a whole thought and a change system here. The Apostle Paul said he talked about all these things that are going on the outside, all this terrible stuff, but there's a glory, a manifestation that's going on in his body. Why? Because of what's inside of him. There's that glory that's in the inner man. And see, we have all that other bad stuff seems to be happening on the outside. See, on the outside, we have all this stuff going on. Most people are focused on the outside. That's what they're focused on. And this is why things don't work. You can't walk by faith focused on the outside. Now, if Paul, anybody had a reason to focus on the outside, he did. He got beat a lot more than Ed ever did. He got a lot more persecution than I ever even conceived or thought of. And he did, yet he walked by faith. Well, he's doing a teaching about this. This is what he's talking about. All this stuff's going on. But there's a glory. He said, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal bodies. That almost don't make sense, does it? The death's working on it. But see, it's the idea. See, Jesus died for you. You got to walk in the light of His death. We're taking communion. What's it about? His death gave us life, folks. Most churches worship death. The cross churches. Wear them around their necks. Wear in death. Wear in the image of where the curse was nailed. Wear in the curse around their neck to remind them they're cursed. The cross didn't save me, the resurrection did. I ain't wearing a tombstone around my neck just for, you know, we ain't doing it. I shouldn't have said it, there'll be preachers doing it now. They'll be chipping, you know, while we're making rings and stuff now out from the tomb where Jesus is. There couldn't be a tomb of Jesus left. They have sold so much of that stuff, there wouldn't be a rock left out there to make a piece of jewelry out of. Oh my God, people will do anything, just as dumb as a stick. You know. I'm gonna wear a ring. I'll have a necklace that has a piece of the tomb. We don't even know that there is no proof that that's the actual tomb of Jesus to begin with. But the church loves image. We love image. And you know what? These guys found out that they can sell you image and you'll buy it because you'll love it. Because they'll tell you it's wonderful, good, and it's holy, and you believe them because you like them. And so you'll buy their stuff. That's what they do. It's a great money maker. They make millions off of it. And you wouldn't believe how much goes in pockets and don't go in the ministry. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. I ain't selling me their trinkets. I'm not into trinket ministry. I don't believe in it. You know, churches having this, they call them bookstores and inside selling purses and all kind of stuff. Like, dear God, we got to do that, poor old Jew. We got to sell purses. We got to sell purses and all this different stuff we got to sell now because Jesus can't make it anymore. He can't prosper you, you bunch of buzzards. You've been lied to. they're selling all the jewelry and all the stuff now. You know, they're doing everything. You go in, it's a shopping center now. Get yourself a cart. Go to church. You know, we're going to walk. They might as well, because a lot of the books are junk these days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, man, I'm going to get letters. This goes online and they hear it. It's going to upset. I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul speaks concerning himself, verse 12, he said, so then death is working in us, but he said, life in you. You know, Paul's ministry, really, Paul's really showing something about his ministry. One thing is, you know, the apostles suffered a lot to bring the blessing to others. And really, their ministry, like Paul, Jesus, you know, told him of the things that he was going to suffer for his name's sake, that he suffered, and really, we got the benefit. Isn't that amazing? All the benefit. But you know what's things I often thought about with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin told us, he said, you know, the things that I had to learn, he said, I didn't have teachers. He just said, I couldn't go out and buy books on faith. He said he didn't have them. Nobody had them. He said, we didn't know nothing about it. He said, I had to learn it. I learned the subject in the Bible and that stuff. And he used to tell us all the time, if you'll listen when I teach, he said, there's a lot of things I went through you won't have to go through. See, it's one of the wonderful things, if you pay attention to what people have learned, you don't have to go through. And I often thank God, because there is many things that I learned how to be blessed from Kenneth Hagin, that he spent years and went through tough situations to learn. And really, he learned a lot of things from Hard Knocks that I didn't have to. And so it became a great blessing. I got the life without having all the Hard Knocks. So, praise God. Well, that was a blessing. Amen? Verse 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. See, that's the spirit of faith. It's saying something, believing. See, this heart, this glory we got in the inside, we need to talk this. This is glory. See, you got saved. Just think of it. You got saved by what you believed in your heart and said with your mouth. That's how you got saved. And he's taught, that's the same spirit of faith. Knowing that he who raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Now, he goes on. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. Now he said, now look, he talks about all this glory that's going on, all this glory, but he says this glory manifests in his body, but he says, look, the outward man's perishing, it's dying. So see, many kind of comes along and says, we can believe and just live on. I'm sorry, the Bible tells us different. Always go with the Bible. I don't care what some guy says. Go with the Bible. The outward man is perishing. But listen what he says. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The inward man, this man of the heart, the one where the glory's at. He's renewed day by day. See, what we talk about, with God there is no time. There's nothing. Do you know your spirit's identically the same way? There's not time with your spirit. Do you know in the spirit realm there's no distance between things? See, these are things that are hard for us to understand. Because see, we live in a realm, the natural realm is distant. The natural realm, we look out at the stars and people say, well, heaven's way out there somewhere and that stuff. But in the spirit, there's no distance. In the realm of the spirit, there's no distance. I remember Kenneth Hagin, when I first heard him ever talk about it, he said the Lord told him to deal with the spirit that was in a person, and he was here in the East Coast somewhere, and the person was down in Texas, and he said to the Lord, well, Lord, they're way down there. How am I supposed to deal with that deer? Deal with that individual. And the Lord says, in the spirit, there's no distance. You talk to that spirit, and he hears you, and you know. See, most Christians, and I watch this in Christianity, most Christians pray by distance. They pray like they're praying distance. They pray like there's a God way out there they're trying to get a hold of. They pray like, you know, that maybe the tower's down and he ain't picking up a signal. You know? People do it by distance. They don't pray as if that God's right there. They don't do it in that manner. They're doing it by distance. Like trying to get God to come here and do something. they're not doing it. It's because we think mostly by the natural, by the outward man. We see by distance and all these things. And then we turn around and convert that over into our spiritual life and don't think about it according to Scripture. We don't think about, we think about, well, I'm getting older. Ed Gibson is not getting older at all. The real Ed Gibson, my body is getting older. Ed Gibson is not getting older and will never get older. Ed Gibson is eternal. My body is aging. I am not aging, and neither are you. Get that. If we don't start learning to talk about these things, it's like the Christian. Well, you get older, your mind goes. I have the mind of Christ. My mind can't go. And if you talk that junk, somebody ought to slap you. This is why things go wrong, is we talk wrong. We believe wrong. We don't believe Bible. We have the American culture that we fall under, that we believe and we follow. And we have mixed our Christianity around in this thing. And we had this cauldron the witches made, and they put it all in there for us, and we stir it for them. We need to get back over and get to the Bible. I'm not aging. I am ageless. I'm in the image of my God. He's ageless. I have the mind of Christ. My mind ain't going nowhere. Your brain is an organ that you allow your mind to work through. Now, you can let yourself go and don't walk about by the glory that's in you and let your brain go on you. So it has nothing, that good mind you got has nothing to work through but some mush up there that you turned it into. By not using it. And mostly, I just want to tell you, mostly you'll have mental mind problems and remembering because you don't use your brain. That's why. They've already found that out by studies. They found out people with Alzheimer's, the people they said had Alzheimer's, they found that people who had it, who continually used their mind to do things, they don't have the problems that the people who don't. See, I mean, just go sit at McDonald's long enough, you won't need a mind. just go, don't do nothing. Use your mind. See, like with me, even on my computer, I have everything you make, I'll come up with another kind of, every time you have to have a password for everything. I do it, set myself to remember my passwords. Because I don't use one of the jobs, they found people say, use one of those software that, remembers all your passwords. And I said, that's real good. Let them get a hold of that sucker. And people do have it. And they got everything you got. They sound wonderful. I don't do that. I use my memory and remember. And what you do is you make up things that are complicated. You don't try to make it easy. You make them complicated. Have to use your mind. That's a new thing today. People don't do it. People don't use their mind. How many people you see today will sit down and figure out a math problem on paper and pencil? You need to do that. You need to learn to do that and stop. Use your mind. There's no point in having one if we're not going to try to remember it. There's no point. There is no point to it. Use your brain. Make your brain work. It's like a muscle. It's the same way as a muscle. You don't use your muscle, it ain't going to be strong. You can make confessions all you want about your body strong. If you don't ever do anything to make it strong, your body's going to fail under you. You're going to have to do something. Boy, that's a new thing, I'll work out online, Yeah, virtual workout. You do it, I'll watch. Boy, I'll tell you what, am I sweating. I've been watching you and it really makes me wet. I'll tell you. Oh, that's what they're doing today. Anyhow. Hallelujah. Well, verse 15 says, for all things are for your sake. Why? That grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For, listen to this. Now listen to this carefully. For our light afflictions, For our light afflictions. For our light afflictions. Is that what you call what you go through? Oh, you just don't know what I'm going through. See, I don't go through light affliction. You just don't understand what I'm putting up with. You don't understand my hardships. I don't think Paul would have been so sympathetic with you. You might... That's why Paul would never get into churches today. We would never let... The churches that are named Apostle Paul would have nothing to do with them. They wouldn't have a thing to do with that man. Hallelujah. He was a terrible counselor. No, but hey now. You listen to what Paul said, and Paul's going to teach you how to walk in victory. Paul's going to teach this way. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. In other words, this temporary life we live in. Understand, your body is perishing. The problems that you face right now and that you're going through, they are for a temporary time. They're not forever. It says they're for a moment. Peter made the statement that life was like a vapor smoke. I sit down and look, and you know, when I look back and I say, where did 70 years go? Man, it's by. It's been smoke. It hasn't been nothing. It hasn't been anything. I feel so sorry for the people to believe this life is all we got, because I can't see the point. I mean, let's blow the whole planet up. Let's get rid of it. I mean, if that's what it is, it's no point in having it, because it's a nothing. And what takes place matters not. But he says here, it's for a moment. Listen what he said it is. This thing, this what we're going through here in these light afflictions, he said, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Did you ever think about your afflictions are working for you? But I'm going to explain to you why they don't, because he tells us. They're supposed to. But listen, he says, they're working for us while we do not look at the things which are seen. If you're looking at the things of seen, they ain't working for you. They're working against you. But at the things which are not seen, he said, which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are what? Temporary. The physical things we go through, the physical things, the pressures and stuff we go through, they are temporary. But he said, the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, the things that we go through in this temporal realm that are happening in the temporal can work to our glory if we look at the things that are not seen. We got to look at the things, like looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. We got to look. See, faith is based on the unseen, the victory in this realm. You know what he's telling us here? This glory is to work for us because we're temporarily here. This glory to be revealed in us is to do something for us in the life to come. And it's working through these things by not looking. Walk by faith. You walk by faith here. You have reward to the life to come. There's rewards you won't have to the life to come if you look at things that are seen, because you won't learn how to walk by faith. See, we're supposed to live by the unseen realm, not by the seen realm. Most of what the church does today, they do it by the seen realm. You know, we do today, whether it isn't helping people. We look at people's situations. We don't find out what's really going on with people. We just classify everybody that runs up and says they need something. Well, let's give it to them and that kind of stuff. Let's just do it. I'm sorry. That's living by the seen realm. There's no faith in that. There's no faith following that. We're just going to give, you know, we're just going to throw things out there. We're just going to do it. This is our idea. But you know what? Makes us feel good like we're really something. But it's not working eternal weight of anything. You see, we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to, that inner man, remember the guy that was in hell? He could see, couldn't he? He could see in the spirit. He could see things in the spirit. People in the spirit. Stuff in the spirit. He could see what it was. In the natural, you lots of times don't see things for what they really are. You don't see them for what they really are. You need to be able to see in the Spirit. This is why. See, God put the Holy Spirit in us so we can see things and know what's going on. And have the Holy Spirit in us helping us see things for what they are. You know, see, we have when God sent Samuel to anoint a king, and he went down and he came right up on David's eldest brother, and he was a good-looking guy, it says, you know. He's this big, good-looking dude. And Samuel said, well, this is the guy he wants to make king. You know, he was on the picture of the magazine, you know. This dude here, he was the one in the bathing suit standing there like that. That's the dude. He'll be the king. He's a big dude. Yeah. Put a sword in his hand. Everybody will love it. That's the dude. God said, uh-uh. What is God, how does God view people? He said, I'm not looking at outward appearance. I want a man who has the heart for a king, to be a king. 90% of what the church will choose by the outward appearance. They'll choose, the church chooses its leaders by the outward appearance. Is what person will do the most for me in the outward? We choose and vote for people on the same basis. The guy who says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you this or I'm going to give you that. We don't care what their heart is, as long as they give us what we want. Oh yeah, he said he won't tax me, so I'm going to vote for him because he said he won't tax me. Remember the first Bush? Read my lips. No taxes. Read my lips. First thing he did was tax people. I really get a kick out of Biden. But Biden said, you know, they have a commercial and it says I'm not going to tax anybody over $400,000. It's the biggest lie you ever heard because he's going to reverse the tax breaks that Trump gave. So that means everybody gets a tax. Everybody's going to get their taxes raised. But you know, see, they're not, but see, people will hear that and they think they're voting for God. Nobody knows the people after their heart. They don't take the time to know. They don't take the time. No, let's anoint this guy. Let's anoint this guy. He looks like the guy we ought to have. You know, he looks like the guy that I like. Well, let me think about it. Look at the commercials. I don't care whose side and who's running. Look at the commercials. All the commercials do is to move your flesh. That's what they're for. And if you think they're for anything else, then you need another dip, definitely. Why? And I understand why they do it. Because most people will only be moved by their emotions. That's the only way that you can get them to move. Most Christians, you cannot get them to do anything but by the emotions. If you had something seriously you wanted to raise money for, you probably couldn't get half the Christians to give it. But just show a picture of a starving kid that not a nickel is going to ever go to. They'll send billions to that for that thing, and not a nickel will ever go to it. But you just show them what moves are. Show them a puppy in a dirty cage. Oh, my God. We were doing good preaching here, folks. We're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. But see, we can't live and we can't walk by the outside. The church needs to leave this. The church needs to begin to see things clearly. We need to quit looking on the outward appearance. We need the things that we're facing. We need to begin to use it to our advantage. We should have been using this year to our advantage to succeed in faith. This should have been used. I'm going to tell you, this has been a year of victory for me. This has been a year of victory. This has been a year of walking in faith, man. This has been a good one. I like it. See, people say, I don't want to remember. I don't want to remember 2020. Sure, living in the flesh, you don't want to remember nothing. You know, go see Coors and have a beer. That's what you need to do. This has been a year of victory. This has been a year of using faith. This has been a year of walking by faith. This has been a year of patience. Glory to God. Working for me, an eternal way to glory. Hallelujah. Good preaching, folks. Now we're going to go on. Now remember, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. See, and we come down here and we end, but there's a discourse that's going on here. This course is about body. You know, your body's dying. How about that? It's dying. Isn't it amazing? God talks about the body dying, and on the other side, he's talking about glory. It's like, boy, it's sort of good it's dying. Hallelujah. Look, we go to verse 1. Verse 1, remember, this is a letter written. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, and I like that, you heard me talking about it. I like the word tent. Tent is a temporary dwelling. This is a temporary thing. You got a tent. And do you ever have to know you have to go spray it once in a while or it leaks? Do you ever notice that? You got to spray this tent every day. You got to do stuff or it's leaking. Man, this tent don't hold up well, does it? Well, you're young, you just think it's going to last forever. It's just going to do that stuff. And all of a sudden, years go by and you look inside and say, man, I need some more poles to hold this thing out to stretch the canvas. They must have made the poles shorter or something. I don't know. How'd it get sagging? I don't know, but it's sagging. But he does it. This day he goes, now we know that if our earthly house, this tent is what? This is destroyed. What do we have? A building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Which do you want? Which do we think ought to be the most important out of this? See, we gotta get the picture right. What is the most important? We ought to live every day by what's most important. But we don't. See, our culture is geared toward the natural. And the natural, all of our commercials, all the stuff we have about, oh, your flesh, the eating the right food, taking the right drug, doing this, doing it. It's all geared toward this natural man, trying to get this natural man fixed. And God has already fixed the natural man through the Spirit, if we'll listen. This is why the stuff goes on. It goes on because everybody's tied to the natural. God has already given every solution there is to fix the natural man. It's already given. We aren't trying to get it. It's already given. Healing's already given. It's not something we're trying to get. It's already given. I want to think about that. But a lot of it exists because of the way that we think. Our thinking is over on the natural side. And we're constantly bombarded with that. So you got to get yourself of what you're letting bombard in your thinking and changing the way that you think, changing the way that you look at things, changing the way, you think. I learned over the years of learning to, when a problem comes up and thinks about it, learning instead of thinking with my mind by looking at the situation and the problem of trying to just solve it by looking at what I see. I've learned over the years now to look to the inside, to look to the mind on the inside. I've learned to do that. Look on the inside and say, now I got this thing here going on. There's an answer in here. In here knows what to do that. In here. There's a mind in here. The real man, he's a genius. The real man's a genius. He has the mind of Christ. The real man on his end is thinking as good as God today. Woo! If I need wisdom, he'll give it to me. And I need wisdom. See, because my mind, my natural mind by what I see is limited. I've learned that over the years. It's limited. I can tell by the way I lived for 30 years, it was definitely really limited. Because my thinking wasn't very good. But I've learned. There's a mind, there's inside, and all of a sudden, I've had this all the time, it happens. All of a sudden, inside, I know what to do. It comes out of it here. That guy on the inside, with him and the Holy Ghost, what a team. What a team. And that's what you got inside of you. Glory to God. Listen what he goes on to say here, verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. What's groaning in you? You see, naturally, the average person, and even Christians, their groaning is about the outward man. Oh, I'm getting older. How many times I've heard even Christians say, oh, boy, this getting older is no fun. And you know what? I never hang around or talk to people who talk like that. Especially they're Christian, I don't hang around them. Don't need that. Don't need that junk. Don't need that stupidity. Don't need that. I'm getting closer to Jesus. I don't know what you're doing. Hallelujah. Well, there's only one alternative. I always think to them, well, why don't you croak and let the rest of us alone? Give us all a break. Our taxes will go down. We'll take care of you. You're unproductive anyhow, so what's the point? Don't you ever want to say something like that to these people? I mean, I don't know about you. I do. I just, you know, it's like, dear Lord, say, come on. I mean, Christians, why don't they read the Bible about the glory that's in them? They don't, because they love their religion and they got their religion is more important than God every day of the week. Well, this is the way that we worship. I don't give a rip which way you worship. If it ain't like God, then it's the devil. Then it's the devil because it's man and whatever hooked up to worship God under the ideas of men. You know, I've had to change a lot of how I thought as I've grown up as a Christian. You know, the way that I thought coming into this thing, and as I go along, I find out, dear Lord, you got to make changes. If you ain't making changes along the way and you haven't seen it differently, you ain't learned a thing. You've learned nothing. Dear God, there's a groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, while you're in this, look, he says, we're in this tent, groan. Do you have a groaning in you? Did you notice it? See, this is one thing is you need to understand this. We're supposed to have a groaning inside of us, and if you don't have that groaning to want to get out of this body, you're not listening spiritually. Paul said, because you know, go over and read in Romans 8 about the groaning. There's something wrong in the church because the church has not been in line. The church has missed this. The church doesn't have a strong enough desire to want to be with Jesus. That's the problem. We don't have a strong enough desire to want to be with Jesus. We like the earth. There is a groaning. I've had this groaning for years. As I've told the story already, and really, I got over to the groaning began. So I started yielding the groaning so much on the inside that I wanted to leave and I wanted to go. I didn't want to be here anymore. And you know what? It was by faith. And the Lord stopped me. The Lord told me. He said, you need to stop that. He said, because you need to stay here. See, I know how to die by faith. You can die. I feel so sorry. Most Christians will die not in faith. They'll die, oh, as a Christian from faith. But they don't die by faith. They die fighting, trying not to die and don't know how to die by faith. Most Christians don't know how to die by faith. Many Christians suffer and go through all kinds of stuff they wouldn't have to because they don't know how to die. They don't do it. The Bible teaches by faith. In fact, we'll find out here in scriptures, it tells us by faith. Talking about dying tells us by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now we use that trick or trap region in the natural. It's not. He's talking about dying. We got to come to the place, you know how to die by faith. I know how to die by faith. I know how to leave this earth. I know how to use my faith to leave. See, we need to understand that. There's a groaning. I'll tell you what, I got over with my words. I wanted to be with Jesus more than I wanted to be here. I thought, man, what am I doing here? I could leave all this stupidity and all this crazy and I'd go be with Jesus. And I got over, that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to leave here. I thought, man, there's just too much good. See, is heaven real to you? Is the inner man real to you? Or is he just a fictitious guy written about in a book? Where he is so real. You know what? I want to live the life that he is, not the life that's stuck in this body. So you want to learn to live by faith. If you don't learn this stuff, you can't stay here by faith right. You're here, you'll be here for the wrong reason. You won't be here to fulfill the glory of God. You'll be here to just fulfill the glory that you can get just trying to stay in your body. You know, the apostle Paul, you know, well, we won't go over, but look, it says, Listen, he talks about this, the groaning. He said, we're in this tent, this temporal thing groaning. He says, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that the mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Who prepared us for this groaning? See, God prepared you to have this groaning in you, to not want to keep this body that you're in. God prepared it for you. It's God. See, we need to come in line with the Word. It's number one, we will have victory if we come in line with the Word. The church pulled away from these kinds of teachings because all the church could think was death, and they're more in love with the body, and they don't realize this is about the victory of life. If you learn to get a hold of these things, you'll never fear death, and you'll live, and you'll decide when you go, and not the devil. You'll decide to live by life. You'll decide to try. You'll become like Paul. Well, I tell you, I'd like to leave. If you're a stake, I'm going to stay. In other words, I'm going to determine whether coming and going is going to happen. And you'll leave those stupid people behind who say, well, God chose how many days I got. No, He didn't. The Bible teaches you can do things wrong that shorten your life and do things that extend your life. And most Christians do things that shorten their life because they believe wrong teaching. Paul wasn't scared about it. Paul knew if he died, it was going to be better. Listen. So he says, God told the very thing who has also what? Given us the Spirit as what? A guarantee. Or as a down payment. The Holy Spirit in you is bearing witness to you, hallelujah, that this body is going to be dead and there's a better one. And it's a guarantee that you're going to get the better one. Don't be afraid of death. The only thing that I have looked better to look forward to and you do is something better. Death will only bring something better for you and I. That's all it'll ever bring. Something better. I ain't going to get a busload up today. Don't get nervous. We ain't going to pull a Jim Jones things and get the tea out and drink it. We ain't going there. You know. But you, I want to tell you face to face, death, it has something better. Death is better. Look what Paul goes on. Paul goes on and says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. As long as I'm in this body and I'm living here, I'm absent from being present with Jesus Christ Himself. While I'm living in this body. Everybody said, I want to be with Jesus. Well, you're going to have to leave this body. You're going to have to leave this body. Well, we don't want to leave the body. We want it both ways. It ain't happening both ways. Forget it. Now listen, he said that. Then he says these words. For we walk by faith and not by sight. See, he wasn't talking about your days living. This is tied to death, about leaving your body. This is tied to leaving your body. This coming out. Jesus is very real to Paul. Leaving his body is very real to be with the Lord. Look what he goes on to say. For we're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to, now this, rather to be, he says we. If you listen to your inner man, you know your inner man is not talking what you say on the outside about death. Your inner man believes a whole different thing than most of you believe sitting here. Paul said, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present from the present with the Lord. This is what he's saying to the church. He's talking these people like they believe this stuff. The church don't believe this today. We're well pleased. Ha! I've been pleased to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Glory to God! This isn't a bad thing. You can live in victory here if you understand these teachings. You can live in victory here. Nobody can ever scare you with death. It's like I've told the story, when I had a heart attack, the devil kept saying I was going to die. I tell you what, I can tell you truthfully this. I wasn't afraid at all. If I die, I know what happens to it. Anybody had shed a tear, they're wasting their time. Because I ain't crying, I'll be shouting and running. I'll tell you. And don't invite me back. we ain't taking any meal. We ain't coming back. Hallelujah. Now, he said, we're confident. We. Look at all of us. Yes, well pleased. Rather, we're well pleased. It'd be pleasing to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. That'd be pleasing. See, I believe, you know, with Christians, I believe in the past believed those things. You know, I believe the many martyrs and that stuff we talk about in Rome, the amount of Roman martyrs, they astounded them that they would bring these people out to die and they wouldn't wail and cry and things. See, they believed they were going to be the Lord. You took American Christians out of here, my God, they'd have 4,000 lawyers screaming and trying to keep everybody from dying. Oh, no, no, we don't want anybody to die. And then Christians would be bawling and squalling and you would never get enough of it. You'd have your, nobody would ever act like they were going to go to be with Jesus. From history, historical standpoint, dealing with Josephus, they talked about the Christians being martyred in Rome. Really, they said became Rome's downfall. Because the revival that came out of the persecution of the Christian destroyed the nation. Christians in America hate to be persecuted. They don't want anybody ever saying anything because, you know, somebody, well, I was testifying to Jesus and they told me I'm not allowed to anymore, so I get a lawyer till I get the right to do it. You're supposed to do it whether or not they give you the right to do it or not. But see, we do everything. Everything's legal battles. Everything in America today is, well, when the government says it's all right, I can do it, and we fight it through the courts, then it's going to be okay to do it. So I'm going to do it that way. Nothing ever gets done. Nobody will ever stand up. The church is silent. The church has been silent on homosexuality and lesbianism and all. The church has been silent. The church has been silent on adultery and fornication. We've been silent. The church has been silent on things of divorce and all that kind of stuff and other things. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to have it in it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to do it. Why? And all it does is cause it to spread and spread and spread. It's a disease in a sense. Because that sin, because the church refuses to deal with it, that sin just keeps spreading and spreading and it keeps eating into more lives and more lives and more lives and more lives. And the church is the perpetrator of the sin. We're supposed to be the vaccination. The church has become the perpetrator of it. The church is the one who spreads the disease. The idea that love keeps its mouth shut, oh, we don't say anything about it. We let it go on in the church. We don't stop and say, that's out of line. That's out of line. Nobody deals with nothing anymore. Nobody says anything. It's all right. Everything's good to do. You know, we don't like to deal with the subjects of sin. No wonder the fear of death dominates. No wonder the fear of death rules. Because if sin rules, you cannot stop the fear of death. You can't stop it. This is why we need to come back to preaching a completely different gospel than is being preached. There's no conviction anymore. It isn't about come and accept Jesus and live like hell. Come and, because grace is about being able to sin and get away with it. Because God loves it. I mean, we literally have people in the spirit-filled communities who today believe that even the devil's going to be saved. That everybody gets saved. Everyone. Now, what would any lying minister... I mean, if I believe such a thing, my conscience would be bothering me to even have a church. Because if you can live any way you want, what would you pay me to do? I mean, the Bible would be a book to burn and throw away. Who would need it? But people are so bound in darkness today. Darkness is overtaken. Darkness is ruling and reigning. The beliefs of people, you know. We have to admit there's much that has to be changed in the church world. Today, you know, if I just back up to years when I was a kid, I mean, even the Lutherans and Methodist churches would not allow things that even the Spirit-filled churches allow today. Would never allow it. The church has opened itself to sin and calls it freedom. Opened itself up to immorality, calls it freedom. You know, we're believing God for $1 million, but we can't believe God God can't straighten people out. It don't matter. It ain't gonna work. All these things. We want to believe God. We want a world of peace, and the Christian homes don't even have peace. I mean, it's insanity. It's crazy. And this whole idea, what do we use our faith for? I have no clue. Faith today has become a thing about just getting the stuff you want to fulfill the lust of your flesh. God don't matter if it's having stuff. We can have all the stuff you want. But you let people living in sin have stuff, and things are going to get 1,000,000 times worse. They will not get better. You give people in sin a lot of stuff, and they will use that stuff to lead themselves and more people into more sin. You give a guy who doesn't live right money, and you find out what he'll do with the money. You know, you give him a second home, you'll never see him in church. He'll be running to this one and that one. You'll never see. We use today, people use their stuff to stay out of church. They use their toys to stay out of church. The church is not important anymore. What's important is all these other things. And the world has the same things. And when the church is involved in it, just like the world does. You know, listen to minister. You know, a guy's a big name minister. He won't say anything. And I told him right to his face. He's at his church, and here he's got, you know, he's holding meetings. And he's, you know, he's supposed to have 3,000 people, and he can't even probably get 200 or 300 people into a special meeting. And the other people that were at the meeting were other church's people. I asked him, I went right to his face, where are your people at? He said, oh, well, in the summertime, he said, our people, they're vacation. They got their motorhomes, and they got their trailers, and they got their stuff in their houses. And he said, we don't see a lot of them. I said, you tell them about it. And he got quiet. I said, I figured. Has a big church. He ain't even got a church. People don't even care about fellowship with God, and the vacations and everything are worth more. Every weekend, going, oh, I got to go away someplace every darn weekend. Can't go to church. See, these things need to be talked about. I have been in revivals, folks, and revivals cannot happen with the condition of the church right now. It can't happen. It can't happen through the church. The church is a sideline today of something, of what I don't know. But everything else means more. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, they might have 3-4 services a week. It's amazing how people would come out. Today, one service a week and you can hardly get people out. And say, we want to move a God. Need to talk to God about that one. We need to talk to God seriously about some things. What are we doing? What's important right now? It ain't vacations. We're sitting in a toilet of a country, and all those people can think about is going away somewhere. Well, don't worry, you will go, but not where you want. See, we need to come back. We need to come. There needs to be a change, a whole different change of things. Will we be too busy? See, I know it's being in revival. I know revivals, people in church every night. Remember the things we used to go? Moves of God. People don't want that today. They don't want that. No, man. I got a lot to do. The demands of my family. You know, my parents, we had a large family. You know, my parents were, their demand was God. And if God was moving, they were there no matter what, whether we liked our people today. Well, my kids, they got school. We had school too. And we grew up 10 times smarter than the kids today. You know why? The light of God! Not teachers. Kids need to sit in the light of God. And they don't. We think we're going to get it in a school. Hasn't it worked great? In a school today, I'll tell you what they're going to get. You're going to raise revolutionaries. The junk that they're teaching is going to raise people up that are not going to want to follow God. They ain't going to want America. They're going to want socialism. And that's what they're preaching in the schools, and they're teaching them from the time they're little. More and more and more of the junk. More and more of the junk that they're teaching. Kids need to sit under an anointing of something. We sat in anointings and meetings under adults who had anointings. Most ministers and teachers, the children never sit under the anointing of the pastor. Never. The child will grow up the whole time and never sit under the anointing. I mean, think about that. This is why churches become playgrounds, because they grow up without the under the anointings that God has given from the standpoint of leadership. Because we got to have playgrounds, and the church will become a playground. That's what's happened. People wonder why things turn. We were doing all the things that the world did, and we brought entertainment into the church, called it ministry. We don't know what the anointing is. We don't even understand its effects. I understand its effects. So we're going out to these meetings. Because I need to go sit under the anointing. You come to the, what do you come, just to hear words when you come to church here? What do you come to? The greatest thing, you know, there's one thing. I went to Rhema. I didn't go to Rhema just to learn some stuff, a subject. I went to Rhema. God sent me there to get an anointing. Most ministers standing in pulpits don't even have one, and especially many that the people love so much. They don't. There's ones who have lost their anointing who had one, and the people love their ministries and follow them by the hundreds of thousands, and the guy has lost his anointing, and they don't even know it. Because they lost it with him. It's the anointing. If God don't anoint it, he's not in it, there's no point to it. There is no point. It's the anointing. The anointing changes things, not man. When Saul lost the anointing, what happened? We have the story. What happens when a person loses their anointing? What do they become? A nuisance. And we have a lot of nuisance today. We need to understand this. It's about anointing, sitting under anointing. There's the things that affect me. Sitting under somebody's anointing will affect me more sometimes than even what's said. It'll affect me. Go to a meeting and sit under somebody who operates maybe in an area of a healing anointing. Just go sit under that anointing. Go there time and time again and just sit there under that anointing. And let that anointing minister to you. Listen on the inside. Learn to listen by the inside and not just by the ears and the outside. And listen, and see what effect it'll have. You know, we'll go to the doctor 472,000 times, and we go to a healing meeting once. We don't know a thing about God's medicine. We don't know a thing about how it works. Say, how did you learn this? Just made sense to me. If you just, nobody had to tell me to do it. It just made sense that you did it. The biggest change that we had growing up, we'd go to meetings and say, sure, we want to learn in here, but we just go sit under the anointing. You just go to the anointing. You go to the person's anointing and you go follow that anointing. And you follow that anointing and you follow that anointing close till you get what that anointing got. You follow it close. You can't do that. When people can't do that with the services today, people don't go enough and follow close enough. We watch 27, we go on television and there's 20 different people we watch with 20 different all over the place. Half of them anointed, half of them ain't, and we end up with nothing. Most of the time in this, let me tell you this, most of the time anything that you're going to mostly receive from anointing, if you want the anointing, you're going to have to be present at the meeting. It's not going to happen over television. I got nothing. There's good teaching. You can sit down and listen to good teaching. But if you want to follow an anointing close, you're going to have to personally follow it. It's going to cost you out of your wallet and your time. Believe me, I know. I've spent a lot of money and a lot of time. And you're going to have to, and I've given a lot of money. It's going to cost you out of your wallet to follow it close if you want it. You're going to have to do that. You ain't going to do it from the home. You ain't going to do it on the internet. It ain't going to happen. You believe that stuff and you believe what these guys say? Yeah. Well, it's fine. You don't have to come to me. Just get it here. Just send me money. That'll straighten everything out. Well, good luck on that. It won't. Thank God for what He does when people are ignorant. They don't know any better what He'll do. But you need to understand there's levels to walk in that you will never ever walk in till you personally go after it. You can't walk in. There's areas of anointing you will never have in your life. I don't care how much God wants you to have them. That has nothing to do with it. You're going to have to go after it to get it. I knew when God told me with Randy Greer. I knew. I'm going to have to. He said, you follow this close. I knew he didn't follow close. Just get the tapes and CDs and stuff and things. Just get that kind of stuff. Go do get this. No, I knew this. I'm going to have to follow it close. And I'll tell you what, I've gotten anointing from it. Scares some people. But it was to pick, see, he's a prophet. God wants me to pick up on that anointing. And you follow that anointing close. And you're going to have to follow it close. It's just like Elijah and Elisha. Elisha couldn't say, okay, let Elijah go. Yeah, I know he's gone. It's all right. Uh-uh. I'm staying by you. Why? Because when you go, I want something. You say, what do I want from Randy Greer? Anointing. Because why? That's what changes things. Ed Gibson don't change things. The anointing does. The anointing does. We need to come back to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to have communion. Now, you know, we let's stand to our feet. I didn't plan on going there, but things need to be said. And we need to say to people, you know, we're living today. And, you know, we have all this stuff we call ministry to people. And people who won't go to church, won't do the right things, and they come along and they call you, they want help, they want this, pray for me. You need to be bold with them and start telling them straight out. They ain't going to walk and follow God. This is just a waste of time going through this junk. Change requires something. A need, you know, it's just like a doctor. I mean, if a doctor, he, you know, practices, you know, 10 to 1, you know, you'll find things and people's lives are messed up. It's going to take a long time to deal with their health and deal with things, and they're going to have them come back time and time again. But they're going to have to try to deal with them and their health. But people, the church has perpetrated one of the biggest lies on the face of the earth. We just made a magic wand to God in prayer, and I'm going to fix you while you go do whatever else you want to do, and you don't have to show up ever again, and you don't have to, no matter this. You know how many times I tell people, they'll ask for help. People ask, well, I need help. I'd say, well, I'll see you in church on Sunday. Well, I'm busy on Sunday. I said, well, you can't get nothing from me. If you won't show up to listen to teaching, you're just going to be a beggar all the time anyhow, and there ain't no point. There's no point to this. They must have a changed life, or you stay a beggar. Now, I want to help you, but it's like God told me, you know, I get these, I'd have sometimes, you know, in missionaries that ask, you know, come over here and help us out here and build a church and do this stuff. Lord said, you don't go build their churches. He said, your ministry is to minister to people and to preach to people. And he said, you're anointed for that. You're not anointed for digging ditches. Today, missions is feeding people and building stuff. And that's a mission. And the church don't preach the gospel anymore. We're building a church over here for these people. And you know what? They didn't bother. I was at places and that stuff where they built churches for people, and the people they built the churches for never showed up. And number one, you don't show up, it don't show up. That's just that simple. It ain't important to you, it ain't important to me. Your Christianity ain't worth spit anyhow. It don't mean nothing. But see, we Americans, oh, let's do it all for everybody, because why? We're God. See, we're God. We're going to take, we got the money, we're going to take care of it for you, we're going to do it, we're going to look after you, so you come and worship us. Then you'll have me back all the time and pat me on the back and tell me how wonderful I am. It's all I need is a big head. I never change size of hats. You always got to put the same one on. So you got Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're taking communion today. Hallelujah. Communion's about who? Who's it about? My God, you Presbyterians are quiet. Won't even talk. Maybe say Jesus. Who's it about?
Jesus.
Hey, my God. Well, Lord, they can't say that name. Yeah, they. Hallelujah. Well, it's about what Jesus did. It's a reminder to us what Jesus. God put on a body. God put on a body. God became a person. That's a phenomenal experience, is to believe that God. God came and put on. You know, that's a hard thing for even Christians to believe today. Many Christians have a hard time believing it. God put on a body. The churches have communion. There's loads of them, but still they don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Loads of Catholics don't believe in that today. They've left that. They've left loads of Catholics. Who've left the, they were the big ones on virgin birth and all that stuff. They're leaving that stuff. They're leaving the things of that, you know, because it doesn't make sense scientifically, because we're educated now. We've gotten so smart that now God is wrong. God is miraculous, but he couldn't do anything. That's out of the question. That's out of the question. He couldn't do that. That's too much. Hallelujah. But Jesus, God, put on a body, and he gave that body for your body. He took on him all your sicknesses and diseases and all your, on that body. Hallelujah. He did all that. He's not going, just together, he's not going to do that. He did that. He did that. And see, that's what we're taking today. And what? We're partakers of the body that did that. That's what we're doing. This is a faith act. Now we have the bread, but that bread, that don't do nothing. It just tastes gummy in your mouth and it just, you know, that unleavened stuff, you know. My God. See, God did that, so you don't want to keep it doing that very often. He just, he's making you remember Jesus. But see, we take that body. We are partakers of the body that was given to us for our health and our soundness. Hallelujah. That body that houses this dirt tent that houses the glory. In other words, it's about keeping the outside, the temple on the outside well. See, you know, if this thing falls apart, the one on the inside has to leave. So we keep this outside glorious by letting the glory that's inside the temple keep the outside full of life. Hallelujah. That's what the glory that's on the inside. The glory that's on the inside wants to keep the outside. Hallelujah. Alive with that glory. And that's what we're partakers of. He did that so you could have that glory in there to keep you alive. Hallelujah. So you'd have more than just physical life. So you'd have more working for you than just what your immune system can do. And more than whatever it is, the body, whatever the cells go do, whatever they can do. Thank God for what they can do naturally. But we have God in us and God's glory, hallelujah, to make this dirt tent have the glory of God in it and be something full of life. My God, your dirt tent might turn out to be something decent. Who knows? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then we have the most glorious thing is the blood of Jesus Christ. The destruction of sin. Eternal life. Oh my God. The blood of Jesus. and we take communion, we become partakers. We're one with that eternal life. We're one with the blood that destroyed the power of sin. Sin no longer rules over you. The word says so. Sin doesn't dominate you. You might trip and fall, but sin cannot dominate you. You'll get up. You'll get up and become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You confess your sin. The devil can't stop it. The power of this blood stands eternally. It made an eternal redemption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It isn't this frivolous grace that just, you know, man, I just live like an old sinner and grace just gets me in the door, this filthy guy in the door of heaven. No, we go in the door of heaven in glory. Hallelujah. That's the way we go. In glory, full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When you get to heaven, you'll be able to go to the throne of grace, the throne of God, and see the blood of Jesus that's been put there for your redemption eternally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord God, God, we're doing something glorious today, hallelujah, in our communion service, hallelujah. Lord God, we're reminded of life today, hallelujah. Lord God, death don't scare us at all because we're full of life, hallelujah. Lord, the natural don't scare us, Lord God, because we're full of eternal life, hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. That eternal life is so great in us that this physical body that's death doomed is so affected, Lord God, by the glory in us, Lord God, that it is subdued from sin. It's held back. It can't do all that it wants to do. Sin and death, hallelujah, sickness and disease cannot dominate and rule us because of the life that is in Christ Jesus is working in our bodies today, Lord God, and we thank you for it, and we thank you so much, Lord God, for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, the sealing of the covenant that cannot be changed, that forever stands, Lord God, eternal life forever, Lord God, standing. We have the life of God, your very life, Lord God, and in that life we have your mind, your thinking, Lord God, your well-being, your soundness, your victory, Lord God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we take it today. We say it's ours. Lord God, we missed the mark. I want to thank you because you said all we have to do is admit it. Admit we missed the mark. Hallelujah. And you cleanse us from every unrighteous act, Lord God. And we stand before you completely whole and sound as if we have never sinned. Woo! Glory to God. That's the blood. And I want to thank you. The power of that blood is working eternally. Lord God, we plead that blood on us and around us in the name of Jesus. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Devil, get your hands off of God's kids in the name of Jesus Christ. We call them free today in Jesus' name. Free to follow you. Free to walk with you. Free to serve you, Lord God, to do your will. And they will in the name of Jesus Christ. The good work you started in them, you will bring to completion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, and I thank you for it. We give you all the praise and the glory because it's your great work that you did through Jesus Christ, and we're just taking advantage of it. And Lord God, we're confidently taking a hold of it today and saying, it's ours. It belongs to us in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. We'll have our servers come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. My.